Welcome to the Bravo Papers, a safe space for all us Bravo fans who love to analyze, deconstruct, and talk about our favorite Bravo shows ad nauseum. So join me, Bravo and Botox, and we'll catch up on all the Bravo news and read way too much into our favorite shows and Bravo celebrities. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Bravo Papers, Bravo Weekly News with your host, Bravo and Botox. I am here to bring you all the Bravo gossip, news, chit chat, blinds, whatever you want to call it for the week. Well, in this case, it's going to be 2 weeks because I know I missed last week because it was just, you know, Good Friday, long weekend. I needed a break. I needed a little break. By the way, I am covering the Summer House After Show on my Patreon. So I do like a weekly bonus episode on there. It's $5 a month and you get 4 extra episodes a month. And each week I do, you know, various topics in the Bravo world. You know, lately I've been talking a lot about the Valley and Vanderpump Rules and kind of giving some of my thoughts, especially about some of the extra stuff that's going on online, whatever I feel like discussing, ranting about, etc. And I'm also going to, you know, be tacking on to those episodes a recap of the Summer House After Show, which just started last week. So if you're interested, check it out. Patreon.com/Bravo and Botox. All right, so let's get into the news this week. Okay, so first up we have, first of all, I should say it is Friday, April the, I should have looked at this ahead of time. April the 5th. It's April. All right, so we welcome that. Let's get some spring going on in here. I am so ready for warmer weather. Okay, so let's start with Vanderpump Rules because I wasn't initially going to start with Vanderpump Rules, but I've just been on the Twitter and I don't know how many times I have to say this in the next couple weeks or how many times I've already said it. Lala needs to stop talking. It's just, it's too much Lala. I don't need her opinion on every single thing. It's like I get that she has a podcast, but it's like she's on her podcast, she's on other people's podcasts, she's on Jeff Lewis, she's on her Instagram. It's just, it's a lot. And it's like, she's giving her opinion on everything from how Ariana should feel about her breakup, whether the way that the show should be produced, how many bowel movements a day, you know, Brock should have, I don't know, everything. And it's just, it's too much. Okay. So let's go over a few things that she thinks are relevant things to put out into the universe that, you know, she would have been better off not saying. We'll start with her thoughts on the show. Okay. So, you know, she started to talk about how basically the show is, you know, bigger than any of them. It's an ensemble cast. You know, they have to do what they have to do. Like listen, I just saw this sound clip today. So to me, it's kind of giving Lala is seeing that she's not winning with the audience. And she also is seeing that, you know, the whole like, let's forgive Tom Sandoval and let's give him a redemption arc, that that's not happening. And, you know, maybe agreeing to being like the producer puppet didn't really pay off, right? And that people are not changing their tune on Ariana, which I do think that Lala thought was going to happen, to be honest. So I think that's part of it. And, you know, because she also made this comment about like, oh, well, it's an ensemble cast and, if we don't like all film together and like get it together, then, you know, this is bigger than us, like kind of implying like the show could be over. Listen, I've got news for her. That might happen anyways. because I understand that this show made like a serious comeback, season 10, but that's it. Okay, that doesn't mean that it has like the same kind of lasting power. And there's a reason that they started the spinoff, The Valley. It's not just because of the popularity that they got from Scandoval. It's also because like this is, listen, we have followed these people, right? We have followed this cast and it was fun. It was a ride. It was a trip. It was all that kind of stuff. It was a wild adventure for sure. But as they're getting older, you know, it's getting sort of less fun. It's getting maybe a little too serious. It's getting a little too, I don't know, even depressing, angering, and not in like the fun way, you know, that's starting to fade. And watching like Sandoval and Tom and watching the guys do their like misogyny, you know, try to turn everything around on the women thing, it's just not working, right? And it's like, I guess the show has potential to keep going, but they've got to kind of like figure out a more modernized formula, right? And they're not really doing that. At least they're not doing it this season. I don't know if they're going to learn from this season and they're going to go back to the drawing board for season 12, if there is going to be, which there is. There's going to be a season 12. There just is. Because the ratings are too high not to. Like, I'm not saying this is the show's last year and it's over. No, but I think they are at the beginning of the end. Like, I think they've got 3 or 4 seasons left, including this one, max, before they start to see, like, people just be like, hey, we're good. Okay? Unless something crazy happens. Again, the potential, too, that I see in the cast is, I'm really going off the news here, I'm sorry. The potential I see in the cast is, like, let's follow, like, Sheena and Brock's marriage, because that's, you know, on its way to disaster town. Like, and again, that could be transferred to The Valley. And The Valley is doing really well. So speaking of Valley news, they had, like, some of the highest, I don't know, some kind of record breaking for a premiere. I can't remember what it was, for Peacock or whatever. So the Valley's doing a good job. I hope Jax, for some reason, doesn't find that out, because, I mean, his ego's going to, well, I guess that's too late. His ego's already through the roof just by being back on TV. Yeah, but listen, you know, Lala, like this whole, like, I have to like do this Tom Sandoval friendship. I have to do this unnatural group setting where I force this on Ariana and blah, blah, blah to, you know, I'm doing it for all of you guys. I also don't think like the audience, maybe I'm wrong about this. Maybe it's just my algorithm. I get the impression that like the audience doesn't care about like how much longer this show is going to last. Like, I think the audience is realistic that we had the peak of the show was like the first, you know, 6 seasons, obviously. The first 6 or 7 seasons were just outstanding. And then we all kind of saw it start to fade season 8, more season 9. And a lot of us were just like, yeah, we're good. Like, we were giving up on it. Like, we had made our peace with it. We were like, it sucks. But, you know, the magic that this show had its first few seasons, like, that just can't be recreated. And I think we're all realistic about that. Somehow they did it, though. Season 10, which was, you know, because it was like a new epic scandal. And it was a scandal that was fit for 2023, right? Because it was like, screw these men who have been dicking around these women all these years, making them the victim, acting like they're the problem when they've been the problem, the men, the whole time, right? So it was perfect. It was perfect for 2023. We have more modern sensibilities. We're more aware of misogyny. It's more of a conversation online. I'm not saying we weren't aware of it before or anything. I'm just saying people are more, you know, open and talking about it and things like that. So it was just, it was perfect. But I think everyone knew that, like, where do we go from here? Like, when you have such a high, the only place to go is down. I hate to say that, but it's true. So again, like, I think we have a few more good seasons, but I don't think that everyone as well is going to be as like devastated or disappointed as Lala maybe thinks that they're going to be. Like, I think people are kind of like, I think people see the potential in the valley. I think people are really liking it. You've got fairly newly married couples, and we know there's a lot of places to go there. And we've got like their children and the way they're, you know, already like a separation. How are they going to co-parent? Like, we have these more, we still have good drama, but we have like more adult storylines that make sense for the phase of life they're in. Right. Whereas like this, like, you know, 40-year-old men trying to still live out their 20s is just, it's not hitting. Right. And the group is also like, it just seems like most of them just don't like each other that much, which is also not fun. I mean, we see that on Potomac, right? So I don't know, like Lala and her, like, I'm doing it for the good of the show, guys. Like, somebody has to blah, blah, blah. Not really, Lala. Like, I think if it got canceled, I think people would be like, oh my God. If it got canceled like right now, because that just wouldn't make any sense with like ratings and the way we know the television industry works. But I think people know the show is like, you know, it's on its like deathbed. It's early, still got a while, but it's get okay. It's at least it's moving in to the, I don't know. I'm losing my analogy here. It's on its way out. Okay, that's all I can say. All right, so that was one thing from Lala. Another thing is then she makes a comment that, I think this was on her podcast, she makes a comment that Ariana has always defended Tom Sandoval's misogyny. And, you know, now that the misogyny is turned against her, it's not, you know, on Lala to suddenly be there for Ariana. Okay. She might have had a point if she didn't already step in and fully and fiercely defend Ariana for the last, you know, whatever amount of time before they started filming again, basically. And also used her defense of Ariana to make money. Right? You've rallied against Tom Sandoval for like the last 7-8 years and said he's terrible and misogynistic and da da da. So it's one thing if you don't want to like defend Ariana when it comes to this guy, but you're not just, that's not what you're doing. You're befriending him, which is different. Okay. If you want to say, I'm not going to defend Ariana because she threw me under the bus when Tom was being, you know, misogynistic to me and she never stood up for me, so I'm not going to defend her. I'm just going to stay out of it. Okay, fair. I can somewhat accept that. But to actually go the extra step to befriend him? Okay, so Ariana didn't stand up for you in the face of Tom's misogyny, so your solution is to become besties with him. That makes no sense. If you really thought he's so misogynistic and terrible that Ariana should have stood up, you know, for you against him, if you really thought he was that bad, then why do you want to be friends with him now? How does that make any sense? Lala. Sorry, Lala's driving me crazy. So there's that. Then there's also, like, she's completely ignoring all context and nuance that is involved in this. Ariana was in a relationship, okay? She drove, one of the reasons I never liked Ariana that much when I watched the show, because I do like her now, but I didn't, I have to be honest, I was never a big fan of her. The reason was because of Tom Sandoval. So I actually agree with Lala in the sense of like, Ariana always drove me crazy defending, like trying to sort of like defend Sandoval or like, be like, well, he meant it this way or whatever, right? Making excuses, etc. However, I found it annoying, but I didn't like hate her for it. Because like most women who are in a toxic relationship, when you're in it, you don't always see it. And now she's out of it and she sees it. And okay, I get it. Almost every woman I know has acted like a complete a-hole while in a toxic relationship. Especially if you're in one with like a narcissist. And especially if you're someone like Ariana, who was in a very abusive relationship before Sandoval, you know, made it clear she has very low self-esteem, thought her vagina was disgusting, all the stuff that she told us, right? I had a lot more forgiveness for her because of that and more sympathy for her because of that. So yeah, I think she thought, you know, he was a good person. She thought she was with it. I really think she believed that. And sometimes when you're in it, you can't, like I said, you can't see clearly. Okay. Again, I can still understand Lala being annoyed. Like, you know, your man talked to me rudely multiple times and was misogynistic. And I wish you had, you know, taken our side more often. Although I will say that there are examples of Ariana not taking Tom Sandoval's side. And Tom Sandoval certainly seems to say that Ariana never took his side and that she was always, you know, behind closed doors telling him off or whatever. Not that I can trust anything that man says, but still, like, it's like there are some examples of, especially towards like the last few years of their relationship, where you start to see cracks. Right. Even last season, we saw Ariana being like, no, I'm not going to do this with you yelling at women, when he was getting all mad at Lala. So, you know, she's not 100% with that. Right. So I understand the, you know, crazy twisted road of logic that Lala is trying to go down, but it really doesn't work because she was in it. Right. Ariana was in it. She was in this like emotionally volatile, like narcissistic relationship. So listen, I don't necessarily think it was on her. And I think you can have some grace and forgiveness, especially when you had a baby with Rand and you want us all to believe that you were lied to, you were manipulated, you were this, you were that, you thought he wasn't married, blah, 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 which by the way, I believe none of. But you want us all to believe all of that, but have no grace for Ariana. And speaking of misogyny, okay, so let's go back to this. Like, I cannot ignore the fact that Rand was the worst offender. I'm sorry. Rand, like, Tom Sandoval's bad. Yes. Rand is worse. Okay. You knew that the guy that you were with was cheating on his wife and kids with you. She mocked Rand's freaking ex-wife on her Instagram when she first like got with him. She did. I remember that. That was a thing. And then she took it down after. She freaking like she, you know, she did all that. I'm sorry, but she did. And don't tell me that like you didn't know that, you know, oh, he met you through a casting couch and that he might be possibly doing that to others. Right. And he met you through a casting couch. That is the like that is beyond misogyny. That is like, yeah, that's very bad. That is way worse than the affair. Right. So I'm like, I can't. So you are not going to be friends with Ariana because she didn't defend you when you and Tom were having television show fights for ratings on Vanderpump Rules. Okay. Okay, Lala. But you're going to be friends with Tom Sandoval, just to clarify everyone. She's going to hang out with him. And Schwartz, another misogynistic trash bag. Okay, what else do we have from Miss Lauren from Utah? Okay, then the other thing she said was about Tom and Ariana and the house. Okay, so Lala's like, I don't think so. This is in response to basically Heather McDonald, who was the guest on the show on Give Them Lala, was basically saying that, yeah, just because Ariana got, you know, a lot of opportunities out of this, et cetera, doesn't mean that that's going to make her like get over it any quicker. Right. Like you still have feelings and a relationship and all that, which makes sense. And then Lala responds, I don't think anyone's wanting her to let it go. You're allowed. I get it. You're allowed to not let it go and go insane on him. Got it. The problem I'm having here is you're using all of these words that I very much feel. Okay. Well, I don't know why that's a problem, but anyways, I can literally sit here and have empathy because I've felt those same things. Okay. I don't really know what she means with that because, first of all, what words? She says felt those same things. Okay, so can you identify what those things are? Like, that's such a vague statement to make. And then she continues, the difference here is you choose to stay in the house and everyone can say he should have left. I agree. But we now know who Tom Sandoval is. Tom Sandoval is the guy that has sex with your best friend in your home while you're mourning the death of your grandmother. He's shown. So let's not sit here and be like, I can't believe he wouldn't move out. He's shown who he is. So now we have to take control of the things we can control, which are ourselves. If he's making you feel this way and you're staying in the house, I got questions. If he makes you lose your mind like this and you are traumatized by what he has done, I want to know how you can move on to a new boyfriend in 10 days. I'm genuinely wondering this because when someone's using the same words that I'm using and I feel for you, I want you to shed knowledge on how you can stay in the same house. Sorry, I lost my place because I wrote this on my phone and it's really small. I want you to know how you can stay in the same house and get a boyfriend in 10 days. How do you compartmentalize? I don't understand it. Well, just because you don't understand it, Lala, doesn't mean it's not possible. Okay? Here's the problem. Lala sees everything through, you know, Lala's lens, which we all do. We all see everything through our own lens. Okay. So listen, I'm not saying that's like unique to Lala, but you know, since Lala asked, how can you, let's answer that. Let's answer it. Okay. First of all, let's start with how can you stay in the same house? It's her house. Sorry. It's her house. She owns the house. I don't understand what words need to be used to drill this into Lala's head. And again, this is what I was saying about Lala, always looking at everything only through the lens of Lala. Yes, you also went through, I guess, a similar situation where you had to leave the house, etc. But you're leaving out extremely, extremely key factors. Okay. You did not own that house. Okay. You were not married and did not own that house. Okay. And I understand Ariana and Tom aren't married, but the reason I said that is because if Lala was married to him, she would have some, you know, ownership, or she would be able to, you know, get maybe some of that house or half the worth or whatever, I guess, unless she signed a prenup. But she wasn't married. Okay. And again, not her house. It was his house. All the stuff in it was his. Everything that was bought, for the most part, you know, maybe besides like some of her clothes and whatever shopping she did for the baby and stuff like that. But I guarantee you, all the major stuff, the furnishings, all that stuff, it was all Rand's. Listen, and I'm not even criticizing her for that. Because like, good on her. Because the day she was over it, she could just leave scot-free and she can start fresh and buy her own stuff. Cool. Get her own house like she is now off the back of Ariana. Cool, right? So that's what's so frustrating about this is like, yes, I understand that you were in a relationship with a toxic narcissistic guy and you had to leave and blah, blah, blah. But if Ariana forfeits, if she leaves, okay, and she takes just her belongings, let's say, because she can't just move the furniture out willy-nilly. You can't pick up a couch over your head and walk out. So she leaves. She's kind of forfeiting her investment because then what are you going to do? The guy's still living in it. And then he's going to have all his friends over. They're going to party. They're going to probably trash it because look at how he handles it. There may be damage to the house, whatever, piss off the neighbors, just the, you know, the works. And she doesn't get any of the benefits of the home and just all the shitty parts, okay, like the financial responsibility, the legal responsibility, and then he can just do whatever the fuck he wants? Like, and then how are you, it's going to make it more difficult for her to, you know, make an appeal to the judge about, you know, the situation and to move forward with legal matters. She needs to get her part. She needs to get her share. It is her house. Okay? I'm so done with this. It's really annoying me. And it's like, you choose, we know he's not going to leave. Exactly. Exactly. Ariana knows he's not going to leave. She knows he's a stubborn monster. So she knows, if I leave this house and I leave all my stuff here, God knows what he's going to do with it. He could start selling stuff. He could be having God knows who over. He could burn the place down. He leaves the doors unlocked. Like, God knows what could happen. And then I have even less rights, right? And even less access. Okay. So then when I want to walk around with someone who bought the furniture with me and do an inventory of who bought what and write down all the prices, I can't do that because I've moved out and he's changed the locks and I can't get in. And then when I realize I left in a piece of jewelry or whatever to get it, I can't get it, right? It is not a good idea, okay? She's staying in the house with the knowledge, knowing this man will not leave, but I have to stand my ground until the legal process plays out. And that's what she's done. And clearly it was a good idea because she's also gotten her finances together. And now she's been able to buy her own house in the Hollywood Hills, which is from, I don't know anything about, you know, I only know stuff about LA based on pop culture, etc. But from what I know is like a great area. Okay. She's happy. It's hers. It's her own thing that she doesn't have to share with anyone. Kind of like how Lala has decided to have a baby on her own. So she doesn't have to share it with anyone, right? She went through something before. Like it's the same reason Lala wouldn't have. I mean, I guess that wasn't a good comparison. I was going to say the same reason Lala didn't walk out of the house and leave Ocean there. Like, of course you wouldn't. You're not going to leave your child with this narcissist and, you know, you're going to make sure that, you know, that it's worked out, that you've gone through the custody, that you've gone through the legal practice. And no, a house is not the same as a child because a child is much more important. But again, it's like, you got to get what's yours rightfully. And I don't know, maybe Lala doesn't understand because she's never owned property with another person. Right? Like, yes, I know she's just bought a house like since Scandoval, again, because of Ariana. But at the end of the day, up until then, she didn't. So she's just like, just leave. Just leave. It's not, there is good reason for her not to leave. Very good reason, including just as simple as the psychological kind of mind games this guy will play and the way that I don't know anything in terms of the legal aspects of like, you know, is she forfeiting any rights to it? I don't know about that stuff. But at the end of the day, girl, do not leave. What she's doing is smart financially, okay? Even though it might be traumatic and even though it might be a very difficult, crappy situation, if she feels she's strong enough to handle it and just tough it out for a few months or whatever until she can get everything together and do it the right way, good on her. That's a hard thing to do. Most people wouldn't be able to do that. And again, in a lot of cases, a lot of people don't have to do that because the person who cheats will, you know, feel so bad that they'll voluntarily leave. But in this case, we're dealing with Tom Sandoval, and he doesn't have a conscience for the most part, it seems, and he's not going to do that. Okay, what's Lala's other point that she's trying to get across that is stupid? Let's look. How do you get a new boyfriend in 10 days? There's actually an entire type of relationship named after this phenomenon, and literally, it happens to people all the time. It's called a rebound, Lala. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. You know, it's when you've been in a relationship with for a really long time and you get your heart broken, you get dumped, whatever. And you go out looking for someone else right away because you think it's going to make you feel better. And a lot of times it does make you feel better for a little while. And then time goes by and, you know, usually it ends. Because you kind of like wake up out of that haze and realize that, you know, it's not really helping you get over the ex, or you get over the ex and you realize that you don't even really like the rebound person as much as you thought you did. Or, and I know this isn't like popular kind of internet opinion, but this is real. Sometimes rebounds work out. It's so funny because a friend of mine who watches this show was, I remember we were talking about this the other day, and she said to me, she goes, my husband is a rebound. She's been with her husband for over 20 years and they have three kids. Okay. Their kids are all, two of them are in their 20s. One is 19. Okay. And her husband was, she's like, I got dumped by this guy. I was so heartbroken. She's like, I remember being so frustrated that I was like, that there was this guy that somebody tried to make me set up to go on a date with. And it was literally like a week after. She's like, I went on the date with him just because like, I just needed to get my mind off it. She's like, and then it ended up like, eventually I actually fell in love and it ended up being a thing. And they've been together since. I'm sorry. It does happen. Okay. It doesn't mean like, you know, once she was able to get over the ex, she was still seeing her new guy, and it did work out for them. A lot of people, again, like I said, a lot of times it doesn't work out, but there's a reason that the term rebound exists, because people do this all the time, Lala, which is what's so frustrating to me, because she acts like she's never heard of this before. Oh my, someone breaks up with someone and they date someone 10 days later? Well, that's not what I would do. Ariana is not you, Lala. This is the problem. Lala judges everything everyone else does based on her standards and the way in which she would do things. The way in which you would do things, Lala, is not, you are not everyone else. People do different things in different ways. People hand up breakups in different ways. People handle deaths in different ways. And yes, it might be hard for you to understand, but that doesn't mean that it's all BS just because it's not the way that you would do it. Like, I'm sorry. There are a lot of women out there who couldn't imagine, you know, getting pregnant on their own without a partner and doing it on their own. Okay. That doesn't mean that the way that Lala's doing it is wrong. It just means that other people wouldn't want to do it that way. Right? And there's not a way that's the right way, quote unquote. Okay. So yes, Ariana was heartbroken. Okay. Her boyfriend had essentially left her for a quote unquote younger, hotter, whatever. And I'm not saying I think like Rachel's hotter or whatever. I'm just saying like, that's how I'm sure Ariana would think about it because her self-confidence was so shot. And then she goes to this wedding because she was, you know, she's a good friend. If that's one thing we've seen about Ariana, she's a very loyal, good friend. So she goes to her friend's wedding, even though she's going through a crappy time. Plus, traveling can help you kind of like get away from this stuff. She meets this guy. He's hot. Let's be honest. He's hot. He looks at her. He thinks she's hot. She's getting validation. She's getting all the things that she wasn't getting from Tom, right? She wanted to be told she looks good. She's sexy, all this stuff. He's giving her all the stuff she was missing. Okay. And it makes those bad feelings, those negative feelings about herself go away, even if it's just for a little while, even if it is just a rebound, even if, you know, in 8 months, she's going to shake her head and just like be like, whoa, okay, I this was too soon. I need to break up with this guy. That could happen. It could happen any day, or they could end up together forever. Okay. Because again, like, it's like Lala has created these rules in her mind for the way that we should all function, the way we should all handle relationships. And it's funny because like, they're very rigid, right? Like she has no, she pretends she's, she even said this on her podcast that she's thinking about things like there's nuance, there's context. Actually, no, you're not using that. There's no critical thought. Like really? Okay. So let's see what other not critical things did Lala say? Well, critical things without using critical thinking, I should say. Okay. And I just want to say, just to Heather's credit, Heather McDonald, because she did say, you know, she found the other boyfriend in 10 days because it felt great. She liked having that. Why should I be inconvenienced to move out? Like all that. And I think that makes sense. And then Lala even says, of course. Let's see. What else does she say? Okay, so then she also says, this is Lala, by the way. So what can't happen here is when my life went to shit, I was grilled by Lisa Vanderpump. I was grilled by my castmates. Not one person said, you know what? Let's ease up on Law. She probably should have known, but she didn't. There's a baby involved. I'm asking the questions that I think a lot of the audience would want to know, right? Bottom line, we're filming a television show. It's an ensemble cast, and I understand that it can be uncomfortable. But if my ex were a part of Vanderpump Rules, I would have to have uncomfortable conversations with him. It's just the name of the game. I actually had prepared myself season 10 for them to bring my ex into the mix. And then Heather's like, while you were together or after? And she said, when we had broken up, I was fully prepared. You know, she said, I had a conversation with production. I said, two things are going to happen. You bring him back, I walk. Or you bring him back and you cut. Not a word that I say because I'm mentioning it all. Well, they can't do that. Okay. Okay. So she wasn't really prepared. Okay. So let's start from the beginning here. So she says, what can't happen here is, you know, when my life went to shit, I was grilled by Lisa Vanderpump. Okay. How is that Ariana's fault? Ariana cannot control how the cast reacts to the way that she handles this or to this situation. Let's start with that. Okay. Get mad at Lisa Vanderpump then. I was grilled by my castmates. Not one person said, you know what? Let's ease up on law. She probably should have known, but she didn't. There's a baby involved. Blah, blah, blah. Okay. Lala is under this impression that life is fair, and it's actually not, and that everything should be exactly equal, but that's not how the world works, okay? And again, she's ignoring the situational differences, okay? For example, the audience was not fooled by Rand. The audience knew Rand was a sleazeball. The audience was largely fooled by Tom Sandoval. And knew that Tom Sandoval, or thought that Tom Sandoval was actually like a nice, faithful boyfriend. Okay. And again, I'm not saying everyone, because I was a Tom Sandoval hater and I always thought he was annoying. But I'm just saying, for the most part, we all felt the same type of betrayal. None of us felt that about Rand. Okay. You know, that being said, a lot of people did still give Lala some grace, including myself, especially during Scandoval when people were still trying to like mistress shame her and all that stuff. And, you know, and I did still kind of feel that for her. But again, like, it's like Lala, she's mad and she's making it so clear to me in this quote. Okay. She's like, you know, ease up on La. Like, see how she continually makes it about herself? There's not even mention of Ariana and Tom in this part, right? Even though that's what they're talking about essentially. But it's like she's so egomaniacal, she cannot even think outside of her own situation. She can only look at it like I don't think she has the ability, right? Do I think she's like a full-blown like narcissist like Tom Sandoval? No. But I do think she's like a step under, like an egomaniac maybe or something like that. Okay. She's like, okay, then what was the other thing? You know, I'm asking questions that I think a lot of the audience would want to know. That's not what it sounds like. It sounds like you're saying things that you just feel were injustices and that you think are unfair, okay? You think it's not fair that the audience didn't give me the same compassion that they gave Ariana. I'm jealous of how amazing this went for her, all the opportunities, all the attention, all the this, okay? Meanwhile, I got cheated on. I was in this crappy situation and I didn't get anything out of it. Except people still being like, not giving me sympathy and still calling me a mistress. That's what she's really upset about. Okay. Because the audience, I haven't seen the audience asking this question. I haven't seen anyone in the audience who's like, huh, why didn't we all feel more sympathetic for Lala? You know, why does Ariana get so much sympathy and Lala does? I think everybody gets it. No one's asking that. Sorry. Okay. Then she talks about the ensemble cast thing, which, you know, I already talked about that earlier. And then she talks about this whole, like I just said a little bit ago, this whole thing about like she'd prepared herself for him coming on. Okay, so here's how she prepared herself: by threatening them. Sorry, I can't talk today. So she threatened them. She said, you bring him back, I walk. Okay, so you didn't really prepare for him to be on because you had full intention to not film. Or you bring him back and you cut, not a word that I say because I'm mentioning it all. And then she goes, well, they can't do that. So she knows she's put them into impossible situations. So if they bring him back, she's going to walk. Or they bring him back and they film a scene, but then they won't be able to use it because Randall will sue. And they know that because she'll say things that, you know, he'll be able to like sue Bravo Evolution for. And she says, well, they can't do that. So even Lala is the one who says that, by the way, not Heather. So, okay, so you really weren't prepared to have him back. You weren't really prepared. Like, it's very frustrating. And then she talks about how, you know, she asked questions, and because of asking questions was looked at, you know, as someone who doesn't support women anymore and someone who's jealous. Well, if I'm going to be honest, it's not just the things that she's saying, it's her actions. And to me, her actions are much more important. Like, all of a sudden trying to have a friendship with Tom Sandoval, someone who she says is a narcissist, a groomer, a misogynist, and now she's really actually trying to build a friendship with him. That action alone just kind of shows that, like, your words don't mean anything. And you don't support women, Bethany. Sorry, that was the Ramona came to me in the moment. You don't support other women. Okay. Okay. Then she talks a little bit more about being in an ensemble cast. And she talks about like how, you know, it's the show is responsible for paying their bills. How are they supposed to do that? It was really hard. And all these people are like, and by people, she means fans. It's funny because she says she's not reading the comments. She doesn't want her people, quote unquote, to tell her anything that the fans or the audience are saying. But then she makes so many references to what the fans are saying. Like, she just finished saying, you know, she's someone who's jealous and doesn't support women. So clearly she is, you know, somewhat looking at the comments. So anyways, the whole interview is, I don't know, it's a disaster. Okay, there's also this clip that everyone's freaking out about her kind of like basically saying like, you know, that she appreciated, I think, when Ariana came to her when her dad passed away and how she felt like the cast wasn't going any softer on her or whatever. And Ariana said she kind of had a similar experience. And then this is when Lala gives her little speech about how there's like context and nuance to everything. And maybe Ariana wasn't as close to her dad as I was. Girl, stop. Just stop. Stop talking. Because this is what happens when you talk too much, like as a celebrity and a person who is like a TV personality. You end up saying things like that, that maybe she didn't even mean it in a malicious way or whatever. And she was just trying to say like, you know, everyone's quote unquote situation dealing with grief is different, or I don't even know, right? I'm not trying to defend her right now. I'm just saying, let's just say, let's give her the benefit of the doubt for a second and say just she didn't mean it in a malicious way. It doesn't matter. Now you said it and you sound like an a-hole and everyone is just kind of done with it. Pretty much what all the clips from this interview, and I didn't actually listen to it, okay? Because, you know, I've just been reading like summaries and stuff online, but pretty much, and I didn't want to listen to it because I didn't want to give her the download because I'm over it. Because again, she's making money off this. She's again and continually making money off of talking about Ariana. So I just want to point that out as well. Right. And the whole thing, it just reeks of I'm jealous because my situation, and I don't even think it's really like I'm jealous that she's doing an ad for Bic razors. I don't think that's the thing, right? I think what she's jealous of is just not getting the audience love. I think she wanted that so bad after her and Rand broke up. But here's the thing that she's forgetting as well. And she forgot about this when she was saying how Ariana always defended Tom. She always defended Rand. There were signs. People tried to point things out. And anytime anyone even mentioned him, she would lose her shit. And like, I'm sorry, I think she knew about him being a cheater and all that other stuff way before. But it was just once it went public and she couldn't deny it anymore, that was when it became a thing. And I think a lot of people think that. That's just my opinion. I don't know anything for sure. I don't know. It's too much. It's all too much. And I also hate her implication that like anyone who is on Ariana's side on the show is just because they're scared of the fans. That's another thing. It's like Lala can't even fathom that other humans might have a different opinion than her. That's crazy. It's crazy. Okay, I got to stop talking about Lala. I have been talking about Lala for like 45 minutes. I'm sorry to all of you. Hopefully, my point in doing it was that I could get out all my frustration and anger, first of all, about Lala's quote unquote press tour slash this. It was mostly from the episode where she did the interview with Heather McDonald. But still, either way, I needed to get it all out. And I hope it helped all of you get it out, too, because we got to just release it. Sometimes it just feels good to rant. I like a good rant. Ranting is underrated, right? Where you're not really looking for like the person to give you a solution or solve or fix the problem, but you just want to get your opinion out. Maybe it's not overrated. Maybe it's not underrated because like Reddit, Twitter, they all exist and we're all just ranting, aren't we? we watch the shows and we're like, I need to talk about it, right? Okay. So there's been this little clip floating around. So this is still Vanderpump Rules news, but it's related to Jax. So there's still this clip floating around. And basically it's Jax in his restaurant, bar, whatever. And he's talking about Vanderpump Rules. And he's like, it's all scripted. It's all fake. And he's like, you know, seasons 1 to 6, those were, you know, real, authentic, like that was us. And then it just season 7 and on just became scripted. These people don't even hang out. They don't even like each other, which if I'm going to be real, I believe that because, I mean, listen, Jax, you're not telling us anything groundbreaking. It was kind of obvious that the show became a little bit more produced in the later seasons. And you could tell that the cast wasn't as tight as they once were because like they got older, their lives changed. You know, we knew Sheena wasn't working at Sir. Like it was just whatever. Okay. and then he's like, that's why, you know, the Valley, it's fresh, it's new, it's raw, it's unscripted. And I was like, oh, okay. Jax is competing, at least in his mind, he's competing with Vanderpump Rules. Listen, he's got to understand though that even though the Valley's good, okay, I'm not saying it's not good. He's got that on his side. I'm really enjoying it. This week's episode was great. But, you know, all that being said, it's never going to reach like the level of magic that Vanderpump Rules had. And as much as he wants to say, oh yeah, it got all scripted and fake after that, season 10 of Vanderpump Rules was a fucking good season. Okay. Even though like, you know, even if we're just getting rid of that last, like picking up cameras again episode with the breakup, the rest of the season was still really good. Like it was a really good season. So, you know, he's got to at least acknowledge that. I think, God, here's my issue with Jax though, is the Valley's doing well and it's good and it's getting good feedback. So Jax is going to be all egoing. Jax is going to be Jaxing. I mean, he already is. So God knows what's going to happen. He's already like on social media saying dumb things. He was already like saying some, I can't remember exactly what it was, but he was saying something about Ariana the other day. And just it's a lot. But listen, I get he's trying to sell his show. Right. But I think he needs to calm down a little because, yes, the Valley is good. But Vanderpump Rules isn't going to, like I said, it's not going to be dead like next year. It's still got some life left in it. Okay. And the Valley, yes, it has had a strong start, but sometimes shows have trouble maintaining it. So, you know, time will tell, okay? And he needs to just kind of relax a little bit. In other Vanderpump Rules news, Tom Sandoval was on the Bravo Hot Mic podcast, which is hosted by executive producer of Vanderpump Rules, Alex Baskin. And basically, the quote that's been floating around from it is that, you know, Tom Sandoval kind of apologizing, saying, for trying to have the perfect breakup. I mean, apologizing is a stretch, but saying he shouldn't have tried to have the perfect breakup. You know, he should have just like done it, etc. So basically what he's saying is my plan failed and he's sorry he got caught. He's not sorry he did it, but he's sorry he got caught. right? Because the reason he got caught is because he dragged it out too long, because he was trying to have the perfect breakup. So he had to wait till filming was done. And then he was just like a chicken and just kept pushing it, right? So, you know, and then ended up getting caught, right? So again, I don't know, you know, the fact that they did this interview with Tom Sandoval at this time, specifically when this week's episode with Ariana, you know, getting angry and all that stuff happening. And it's a little suspect to me. I just feel like they're trying. I feel like they're still trying. Okay. Keep trying, Alex Baskin. It's not going to work. I'm not feeling anything for Tom Sandoval. Okay. So, in other news, Dancing with the Stars star Gleb Savchenko, I think I said that right, admits that Vanderpump Rules star Sheena Shea doesn't have enough star power to be on Dancing with the Stars. Okay, wow. So basically he said that he choreographed Sheena and Shea's first dance at their wedding and that she, you know, she wasn't that good. And it wasn't easy, quote unquote. And, you know, he says, you know, she's an awesome girl. I really like her. But, you know, she didn't have a lot of dance experience. And then he's like, she could have improved over the last 10 years. But again, the comment that she doesn't have enough star power, I thought that was kind of funny, which I can kind of see that. Like, there's a reason Sheena is a great secondary character. Okay. She's a great, you know, cast member. Sheena does what Sheena does, and Sheena does Sheena very well. But does that mean that, you know, she's like the like star and the focus and blah 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 of a show? She just doesn't have that. She really just doesn't have that. I'm sorry. Okay. There's a reason that, you know, Stassi ended up being the star, because Stassi does, whether you like her or hate her, and you know, all the other the racist stuff she did, all that aside, she does have that star quality, right? And she just had it. Some people just have it. It's very natural. Okay. So the Vanderpump Rules cast did film their reunion, by the way. Their outfits came out. The looks, love, love, love Katie's look. That silver dress. I love how it's like got the trend because silver's in right now. But then it's also just like a very flattering shape and just the cut. Just everything. It's perfect. I think it's the best she's ever looked at a reunion. Ariana looks super hot as well. I think it's a really good like second season type of dress. I just love it. I love everything about it. Okay. If you haven't seen the pictures, you should go look. Ariana and Katie really killed it. And I'm not saying that because they're my favorite. They are, but I'm not saying it because of that. I really honestly like their dresses. Sheena looks beautiful. You know, her dress is beautiful. It's a little basic for me. It's like a gold one shoulder, only because I just feel like I've seen this dress. I feel like I've seen it like a million times before. Also, I need Sheena to stop with like the two strands in front of her face. I understand that like that's like what all the Gen Z kids are doing, and it's like the cool like early 2000s look or whatever right now, but it's just she does it too much, you know? And Sheena looks so, I was watching her on the after show when she's in her confessional with is it Kristen, I think, and she's got her hair down and it's more of like a soft look and it looks so nice. Just something else. I don't know. I think we've beat that hairstyle to death here. It's time to move on. You know, Lala looked beautiful. Lala's, as much as I have a lot to say about her terrible personality, she's obviously gorgeous. She would look good in a garbage bag. You know, that being said, I was not a fan of the dress. It's giving bridesmaid, which is kind of funny to me because like this whole season, it kind of feels like Lala's like the always a bridesmaid, never a bride girl. And I don't mean that literally. I mean like Ariana's like getting like the star treatment and Lala's just like a background character. And that's what is like driving Lala crazy. So it's just kind of funny, kind of fitting to me that she came dressed as a bridesmaid. Yeah. And, you know, listen, they all look great. I'm looking forward to the reunion. But the big thing is that everyone's talking about is that apparently there's some fourth wall broken at this reunion and we're going to find something out. And Lala says it's completely changed. Of course, we know Lala's thoughts on it because she never stops talking, but it's going to completely change. It's completely changed Lala's opinion of her cast and made her look at everyone differently. And it's going to change the audience's perception. I have been tricked by these types of teasers by Bravo and Bravo celebrities probably like 800 times since I started watching Bravo shows. And, you know, every time I tell myself I'm not going to fall for it, and I always do. So there is a part, I have to admit, I have to be honest with all of you, there is a part inside of me that's like, ooh, what's it going to be? And that really believes it is going to be something that's going to be like groundbreaking. And it's probably not. Just like with like, remember last year they were teasing like this big explosive thing. And then it was just like Rachel confirming, you know, that she slept with Tom more than just that one time. And we were all like, yeah, we knew that. Thanks. Like it was all over the internet already. It was like, I just, that's what I'm worried about. That's what I'm really thinking is going to happen. Okay. And it might. And I will look like a fool for the 801st time. Let's talk about the Real Housewives of Potomac for a bit. So this is kind of old news now, but since I took a week off, I didn't get to talk to it. So Candace is leaving Real Housewives of Potomac. Whether she was fired or not is, you know, up for debate. This is one of those ones where, I don't know, I'm really on the fence. Or I don't know. I'm like, Karen, I am the fence. No, but I'm just like, I could see her leaving because it's just become so toxic and she like literally hates her castmates, at least some of them. So I could see that and like to focus on her music career, etc. But then the way she was acting at the reunion, the first part, okay, we've only seen the first part, but the way she was acting at the first part of the reunion kind of makes me think that she was fired. Just the fact that she was willing to say, you know, she's willing to take accountability, and then she kind of gave Giselle like a sort of apology. So that just kind of makes me think that she was bending a little bit to please the producers and Andy and whatever so that she can be on the show again. It's a big paycheck, you know? It really is. So it's hard to say. Either way, you know, she will be missed. I always enjoyed watching Candace even before it was like cool to like Candace. I know a lot of people still hate her. But, you know, I always thought she was entertaining because she was. She was funny, man. I always thought she was so funny. But at the same time, I think it's the right decision. Okay. Because I think whether you're a Candace fan or not, I think people can see that, you know, it's time for her to take a break. And this isn't like a good environment for her anymore. Now, the other word on the street, since we're talking about Potomac, is that because that was Giselle's tagline, I don't know, whatever. Okay, that was my like Bravo joke, is that, you know, Robin was fired. However, I haven't seen it confirmed. Okay, like it was reported by, I don't know, what do we call them now? Like a blogger, content creator, whatever. And, you know, everyone's kind of taken it as a fact, but I'm kind of hesitant to believe it until I get confirmation from like People magazine or something. Okay. Because until it's in like People or something like that, it's not official. And casting rumors, I've said this on this podcast before, there's nothing more teased, gossiped about, spread falsely than casting rumors. Okay. A lot of other rumors, tea, gossip will be out there. And it has kind of like a 50-50 shot, right, of being true sometimes. But when it comes to casting stuff, it's like 80-20. Like 80% of the time, it's false. So I got to wait. Now, do I think it's a possibility? Absolutely. Like the audience has hated Robin the last two seasons. Okay. The audience is over Robin. You know, people are the way she handled the whole thing with Juan, like just everything. So I could see, you know, her. You know what I really could see is Robin being a friend of character. I could see that. You know, she could be like a friend of Giselle and just have like maybe like one-on-one scenes here and there, you know, going to have lunch with Giselle or whatever. I could see that. So Mia brought her boyfriend on Watch What Happens Live, and they're very publicly together, as we all know. Ink. Okay. Honestly, like the funniest thing I've seen on Bravo in a while was her at the reunion where Andy calls him a DJ and she's like, he's a radio personality. Like, I was dying. That was so funny. And she basically said, like, Gordon should be a housewife. Listen, I'm okay with it. It's been a while since we've had like a really thirsty husband. You know, like, remember how Peter was on Real Housewives of Atlanta? I loved that. Just brought such good drama. Listen, I'm all for it. Okay, I can't wait till next week. I can't wait to see Gordon, you know, spilling all the tea. I love it. And I love how at the end of the episode, he's like waving to Mia's new boyfriend in the phone. My jaw was on the floor. Oh, okay. And then Ashley also posted a message after the finale. This is again from last week, but I still wanted to share it with you all. Basically, she posted a little TikTok because we know Ashley loves TikTok. And she posts a little message kind of saying she's been on the show for 8 years fighting with her words, and now people are accusing her of starting a physical fight. Just because you fought on the show for 8 years doesn't mean that you didn't also set up a confrontation with your friend and Candace. Okay, so this was from the finale when Deborah, also known as Sesame Street, approaches Candace, and we heard the audio on the finale episode, and then the fight breaks out, right? Because Deborah pours a drink on Candace, and then it goes from there. But Ashley's trying to say, like, I didn't set that up, but I mean, it kind of sounds like you did. Because there's like that comment about our cameras down. Like, it's just, yeah, it doesn't look good, right? And like, Ashley's kind of like pulling a Lala here with this logic. Like, oh, I've been on the show for 8 years fighting with my words, and now people are accusing me of starting a physical fight or setting up a physical fight. Those two things are not like mutually exclusive. And on top of that, like, didn't you write like a letter of support for Monique? I'm just saying. Okay. In Beverly Hills news, Anna Marie has been quite the talker lately since she got fired. So we all know she got fired, and there's been kind of like these rumors and things floating around saying that she was, you know, really fired because behind the scenes, she's like pro-Trump, she's anti-trans, all this kind of stuff. Her husband went on and he had like a full online temper tantrum about his wife getting fired. I mean, Anna Marie seems kind of salty about getting fired, which I have to say, to be honest, I kind of appreciated that because, you know, the whole like, when housewives like pretend they're not bothered and they're not upset, or when they try to pretend they quit and that, you know, oh, I had other opportunities. Like, it's kind of nice to see some like raw honesty. Like, I got fired and this fucking sucks, which was kind of Anna Marie's post. They asked me to do the show. I had to come in halfway through the season and then they fire me. Like, again, I didn't agree with maybe her logic that she was trying to follow there, because it doesn't matter whether they asked you or not, they can still fire you. But I appreciated just that she was honest about the fact that she was upset about it, which I think is okay. Now, on the other hand, her husband going on this whole rant, that's different. Okay, so let's take a look at some of what he said. He said, look at these bullshitters opening up Pandora's box. Obviously, he meant Pandora's box, but okay. Crystal knows damn well my wife is not a Trump supporter, but even if she was, who the hell are you to politically police her? Crystal also knows her virtue signaling ass shouldn't be saying the N-word in videos, a word I don't know even use, but she has. Okay, he didn't proofread it, but that's a serious accusation. So you're going to need to provide receipts. I'm sorry, but like, I mean, if there's receipts, okay, provide those receipts. Because I mean, he says that these are in a video that he saw or something, like, or at least maybe more specifics. I don't know. But again, listen, anything's possible. A lot of people are different behind closed doors. I don't know. But that being said, I would hope Crystal wouldn't say that. It's not something I would think Crystal would say. But anyway, so then he says, worse, she doubles down on dumb by implying to my wife who she has to vote for since she's black. And so I don't know if that was something that maybe didn't make it into filming. I don't know if they talked about, like, I don't know, voting, elections, politics. Like, we really didn't see that on the show, although I have heard that things like political conversations were cut out. Then he says Garcelle puts the con in confused, acts pro-Black, but stays hating on Black women in a desperate attempt to stay fancy on a show with no Blacks. Well, to be fair, your wife also wanted to be on the show and act fancy. And she's upset about being fired. So she obviously liked it and wanted to stay. So if you're saying that about Garcelle, then you're going to have to say it about your wife too. And you're doing this Twitter rant because you're mad she got fired. So you wanted her on the show too, obviously. So it's just kind of, it's a little, like, it's very hypocritical. And like, it's not, because Garcelle is a Black woman, that doesn't mean that she has to like every single Black woman that she meets. And I didn't really think that Garcelle was that hard on Anna Marie. Like, she expressed her opinions and stuff, but like, in my opinion, Anna Marie tried to invalidate Garcelle's experience, right? By saying, oh, well, when Sutton said that I was, called me an angry Black woman, or just called me angry, or said I was yelling, whatever the situation was, you know, you didn't stand up for me. So she was trying to, you know, invalidate Garcelle by saying, like, oh, well, you're friends with Sutton and you didn't stand up for me. When, like, Sutton was in the wrong in that situation. Anna Marie wasn't yelling and Sutton shouldn't have said that. But it's not like Garcelle's responsibility. If you're upset about that, then you need to say something to Sutton in that moment or even after, whatever, that's fine. But you need to say, like, it's not, it shouldn't be put on Garcelle. Okay. That's not all her responsibility. She's advocating for herself and the hurt that she's feeling. Like, I don't think it's up to her to have to, like run to your defense. And again, like, you know, people can also miss things in situations. They could be in the middle of something, they're at a party, it's loud, it's heated maybe, and they didn't, you know, catch that or whatever. So it's just kind of like, and, you know, like, and Anna Marie used that, right? Like, she used that to defend Dorit, right? Like, she invalidated Garcelle's experience because she was trying to defend Dorit in that moment. Like, so I was like, do you even care about this? Or are you just like trying to, you know, stay in your like Dorit Kyle clique? That's what it seemed like. So then he says, let's be real. My wife wasn't good on Housewives. Okay, there, I can agree with you there. We've come to an agreement. Me and Marcellus have come to an agreement. Personally, I'm glad she's off the show. She was a horrible fit. Oh my God, this man. How did I miss that line when I first read this? We all saw it and it was obvious why. It's impossible to truly know how fake you have to actually be a real housewife. Okay, dude, we know. We know. You think we don't know a lot of these housewives are fake? That's why we watch the show, so we can call them on it. And we love every second of it, okay? And then Anna Marie Wiley, sorry, I need to eat dinner, has also been, like, she did an interview with Carlos King, and she's been talking a lot about this, like, firing and her experience on the show. And again, like, one thing that's just kind of bothering me is the amount of onus and responsibility that I feel like she keeps putting on Garcelle. Like, as though, like, because Garcelle is, like, the other Black woman on the show, like, it's, like, Anna Marie's experience, you know, she can just keep coming after Garcelle about that. And I just don't think that's fair, right? And also, Garcelle doesn't have to like you. Some people just don't mesh their personalities. Now, Anna Marie denies that, you know, she's said anything that's anti-trans and denies those rumors. Listen, I heard about that. I don't know where it came from. I thought that people said, I never actually saw it with my own eyes, but I thought people said that she had some like tweets or something, or that she has, or her husband has said something about like trans athletes, something like that. But, you know, she says that it's not true. Okay, is there footage or whatever? That was all a rumor about that there was footage of that and it got cut out of the show. So again, that was like something I saw floating around on the internet. I don't know if it's 100% true, but some people were saying it was. And, you know, she seems to really have it in for Crystal. Right. Like, it seems like a lot of blame is going on Crystal. Maybe like I think what Anna Marie feels is like Crystal should have been fired and not her. And I think, you know, Crystal called her on stuff. And Crystal was the one that got like the most mad about the esophagus thing. So I feel like, you know, she's really putting the, because she probably feels I got fired because of the esophagus thing and the audience hated it. Crystal was the one that led that charge. So I hate Crystal. That's what I think is happening. That's what feels like it's what happening. What's happened that it feels that way. Sorry. When I haven't eaten yet, I cannot speak. Okay. But I couldn't eat before because then I would be, I just know myself. You know, when you eat and then you're like tired after and then you don't feel like doing anything, I want to do it. You know, I want to get the recording done so I can just eat and then just chill and watch Summer House. I haven't watched this week's Summer House yet. Okay. I heard that Carl asked Kyle to be a flower girl. I got to watch that. Okay. So anyways, so listen, Anna Marie, you got fired. It sucks. That's it. That's all we can say. Okay. All right. So Roni is coming back and the full cast is returning and Jenna Lyons is not going to be sharing her relationship. Okay. Jenna Lyons said that the show has been very accommodating and she's not going to be showing her relationship with her girlfriend and that her girlfriend did not sign up for this. But you did. I'm very like, I'm up and down on this because I'm not one who generally needs every housewife to share every single thing. If, okay, this is a big if said housewife, told you I can't talk. If said housewife is very entertaining, brings a lot to group dynamics, has kind of interesting dynamics with the other cast members, starts drama, et cetera, then I'm like, okay, that's fine. Okay, I can deal with that. Unfortunately, Jenna Lyons doesn't really do that. Now, I put kind of like a Twitter roundup with people making jokes about Jenna Lyons not sharing her relationship. And I have to say, I had more people than I thought who were pro Jenna Lyons coming back on the show, even if she won't share. Okay, that's fine. Like, I can understand people's opinion because people were mostly doing the like, well, I'd still rather watch her than like sigh or whatever, which fair, totally fair. I still don't like it. I think it kind of sets a bad precedent. And it feels like, if I'm just going to be frank, it feels a little racist to me. Like, I just feel like Kyle gets away with this. Jenna gets away with this. But then Kenya got fired for it. Maya from Summer House got fired for it. Robin is allegedly fired. And she hid the wand thing. And she got a real talking to from Andy. You know, a full interview on Watch What Happens Live. You know, why'd you put it behind a paywall? Like, I just feel like she got more reprimanded. And then it's like, oh, Jenna Lyons and Kyle Richards are doing this. And it's like, no one bats an eye. It's okay, we'll accommodate you. Like, I don't know. I don't like that. So I think it sets a bad precedent. That's all. Okay. Like, and again, she doesn't have to share her relationship, but she also doesn't have to be on the show. You don't need it, especially. Like, she's fine financially, et cetera. It's not like she's like, you know, some of these housewives who come on, they're in like a bad relationship. They're trying to make something for themselves so they can get out of it. Like, she's not even in that situation. Like, she's already famous. She's already well-known and well-respected. She also seems like she doesn't even like it. Like, I get why people like seeing her on it. It's kind of like a novelty, like, oh, the J. Crew, whatever, all that. And people are like, oh, she's so quirky and different. I get it. But I think a lot of people are remembering kind of how it felt watching her the first half of the season. Because the second half of the season, the fans, for the most part, were kind of over it. And just her, like, not wanting to get in the mix, not wanting to get involved in any conflicts. I don't know. So she's going to come on the show. She's not going to get involved in conflicts. She's, you know, she's not. And people are like, she shared stuff about her personal life last season. True. Is there more? I don't know. Like, I feel like she did share quite a bit the first half of the season. I will say that. But that's because it was all brand new to us because we'd never met her before. But now we have. So what else? Is there more? I don't know. Does she have more stuff to share? I could be wrong. Maybe she does. I feel like she shared her stuff. And it was already dwindling the second half of the season. It was already like, okay, are you going to do something? Get in there, Jenna. She seemed embarrassed by the fighting. In her interviews, they were like, can we talk about your time on Real Housewife? And she was literally like, oh God, please no. Like, I don't want someone who's on the show who thinks they're better than it, who doesn't really want to be there, and who's just there to hawk their products. Okay. And listen, I don't dislike her as a person. Okay. This isn't an attack on Jenna Lyons as a person. Like, I do think she's like a cool, unique, interesting person, but I just need more. If she comes this season and she brings more, I will come on here and literally say, I was wrong. I apologize to all the Jenna Lyons fans who wanted her on Roni. Why is Sai coming back? I don't know. That's a mistake. Although I have to say, I somewhat admire her bravery for coming back, because she was raked through the coals last season. Maybe she's coming back because she thinks she's going to get a redemption arc. I don't know. She might have to learn the hard way. That doesn't always happen, but it could. You never know. You know, the rest of them, I think I get. I get bringing back Uba. I get bringing back Brynn. Even though obviously I'm not a Brynn fan. But I think Brynn is good on the show and good for the show in terms of like entertainment value. Maybe is she going to show us where she lives? That would be good. I heard she moved somewhere new and she's allowed to film there. So that would be good. Are we going to see this 9-to-5 job? That's also a job that she only has to work 10 hours a week. That's also a job that she's working so much that they couldn't even film sometimes, or she couldn't even make it to filming sometimes. Maybe all those contradictions will be answered finally. Just saying. Okay. So we shall see. Even Erin, I can't stand Erin. Cannot stand her, but I could see her getting another season. I don't know. I could just see it. Like, she had strong audience reactions. And whether those are negative or positive, Bravo's going to want that. So I get why she was asked back. I think she's another one. I think her and Sai are both going to attempt to get a redemption season out of this. I don't know if it's going to work, but we'll see. We'll see. Okay, so we also need to talk about Real Housewives of Atlanta, because Portia... So Simon locked Portia out of their Georgia mansion. So we know that, you know, Portia and Simon are getting this divorce. It's getting messy, obviously, because, you know, I keep seeing press and stuff about it. But Simon locked her out of their Georgia mansion and fled to Dubai. And she can't get in and get her belongings. Simon claims that Portia returned to the home with an armed gunman for unknown reasons, and he had to call police to maintain the peace, which is pretty wild if that's true, but I don't know if it's true. He claims that Portia and her mother and her mother's boyfriend forcibly entered the home, disengaged the cameras, and tampered with items. So I don't know, maybe they went in the house to get her stuff, because clearly if he locked her out and like changed the locks, like how's she going to get her stuff? But Simon claims her behavior since the divorce has been erratic, unstable, and threatening to his kids who live in the home. So I guess I'm assuming his kids from a former marriage, obviously, who live in the home and the house staff, and he's requesting a restraining order from Williams. So, wow. Okay, now if he gets the, anyone can request a restraining order. If he gets it, that'll give us more answers to what's really happening. Because if he gets it, then that usually means that, you know, there is some guilt on the other party's part. He also has sent a cease and desist to Atlanta production, basically saying the house is his. They can't film in it, right? But Portia says that before, like, they had a prenup, and in the prenup, it said she would be able to reside in this Atlanta mansion. So he's, like, breaking the prenup. He says it's his house. He owns it. They can't film in it. So I don't know. I don't know what, like, she's probably, I guess, got to live somewhere else while they work all this out. I don't know, because Atlanta's got to film. I mean, I'm glad. I hope that she's going to share all this. I hope that we're going to actually get all this. Because to me, Portia's always been someone who's kind of tried to hide things and tried to curate things and her image a little too much, right? Like, we saw that when she had her little, like, her spinoff show where she, like, texted her family and was like, no one talk about the fight with the producers and stuff because she didn't want it to be, like, a storyline. Like, she does that. I really have always thought that about her, which that's something that kind of bothers me. But, you know, again, sometimes things happen and you can't not talk about it because it's taking over your whole life like this. So we'll see. We shall see. Okay. I'm hoping all of this is, you know, a bad sign for Portia and Simon, obviously, and for Portia especially, but maybe a good sign in terms of, you know, Atlanta and Atlanta being, you know, on the up and up because it's had a rough couple seasons. I mean, I don't think they were as bad as everything made her out to be, but as everyone made them out to be. But yeah. So also in a very small piece of news, but New Jersey's starting up soon and they released the New Jersey kind of cast photo, and it's basically the same photo from last year, like the same outfits and whatever, except they you know, superimpose them in front of a like a carnival or something. Anyway, so they all posted it, or it's floating around social media. It's like the Bravo official photo, and Rachel Fuda posted it and she cropped Teresa out, which is so stupid. But you know, because obviously we see in the preview that that Rachel's thirsty husband is getting into it with Teresa. So yeah, I just thought that was kind of funny. And you know, maybe she's just trying to like build up the, you know, the excitement for the season. I don't know, but either way, she did it, you know, so clearly they are not on good terms. Okay, I was about to say that was our last topic of the day, but I just got some breaking news that I have to share with you all. Okay, apparently Faith, former cast member of Vanderpump Rules Faith, so the Faith that Kristen and Stassi called the cops on or about, like, you know, alleging that she was someone who was like stealing things when she wasn't, right, and all that. You know, we all remember what Stassi and Kristen got fired for originally. So Faith is suing Bravo for discrimination over Stassi Schroeder racism drama and Lala Kent's alleged knife attack. What? Okay. So listen, I'm not jaw dropped because of the Stassi thing, because we all know about that. That's already happened. You know, Stassi was fired for it, like all that, right? We know about that. And Faith can sue Bravo for that, of course. I was not aware of this knife thing. Okay, so let me take a look at the article a little bit more. Stower also accuses Taylor's estranged wife, Brittany Cartwright, Jax Taylor, of hurling racial slurs at her and mocking her nappy hair. Oh my God. That would not surprise me at all, by the way, from Brittany. Like, no, it really wouldn't. Okay, so separately in the suit, Stowers also claimed she was a victim of sexual harassment and physical violence, noting she developed feelings for Pump Rules star Lala Kent, and producers allegedly forced them to share a bed on a cast trip. Production pressured Kent and Stowers to get intimate and touch each other sensually on camera, the complaint alleges. All this was greatly distressing to the plaintiff. Stowers alleges at one point when her relationship with Kent soured, the Give Them Lala podcast host allegedly pulled a knife on her, holding it to her neck and threatening to cut a bitch with cameras rolling. What? Oh my God, roll the footage. Okay, reality star Faith Stowers, who first appeared, okay, blah, blah, blah. She was subjected to racism, sexual harassment, and physical assault in just her first season. She claims Lisa Vanderpump asked her to be on the show to add quote unquote color to the cast and highlights how she was allegedly disparaged because of her race. Well, that's not good. She says that NBC and Evolution tried to cover up the incident. So that's where the lawsuit against Bravo comes. Let's see if there was anything else. That's it. Those are like the main points. So, okay, here's the other thing that's going on. So this lawsuit comes out. And now people, of course, have pulled up basically a clip from an interview, like a podcast conversation between Stassi and Kristen. Okay. And in this conversation, Faith comes up in the conversation, and this was like after Faith had slept with Jax. And in the conversation, one of them says, I think it's, I can't remember if it's Stassi or Kristen, but one of them says, didn't Lala pull a knife on her? And this is like from years ago. Like this is from like before 2020, before they got canceled and called out for that whole incident. Like this is from before that. And they're like, oh yeah, didn't Lala like pull a knife on her? And I think it's Stassi who's like, oh my God, she did. And Kristen's like, yeah, I think so. Or like something like that, which is pretty wild. Oh my God. Okay. That kind of, that a little bit confirms it, doesn't it? And I think, and then in the interview, Kristen says something like, and I just saw this on Instagram, and Kristen says something like, yeah, it was just like a butter knife and they were filming or something like that, maybe, but I don't know. But like, oh my God. Okay. So I guess we're going to see what happens with that. Like, is that going to be, you know, Kristen getting fired and canceled again? Is that going to be like, I don't know what it's going to be. I don't know what the result of it is going to be, because that's not good for Lala. Not a good look at all for Lala. And here's the thing. People are not loving Lala right now. I think a lot of people would kind of be okay with her maybe shutting up and getting canceled. I don't know. We shall see where this takes us. I will update you all next week with any updates. You know, follow me at Bravo and Botox, because I put all the updates of all these Bravo news stories in my Instagram stories. And, you know, follow me at the Bravo Papers as well. And thank you so much, everyone, for tuning in. Again, sorry for missing last week. And I hope you all had a great week and have a great weekend. And you are now in the know for everything Bravo. See you next time.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Your support really means everything to me. And this show wouldn't be possible without you, the listeners. So please, if you enjoy the podcast, leave a 5-star rating and subscribe so you don't miss an episode. For more, you can join my Patreon, patreon.com/BravoandBotox. And for $5 a month, you'll get 4 extra podcast episodes a month. You'll also get early releases of Bravo Paper episodes and more. Please also subscribe to my YouTube channel at The Bravo Papers and follow me on Twitter, Instagram, at Bravo and Botox, and at The Bravo Papers. If you'd like to buy me a coffee, you can at buymeacoffee.com/BravoandBotox. You know, send your love through some much needed caffeine. And any guest that was on today's episode will be in the show notes, all their social media and contact information. So thank you so much, everyone. Keep overanalyzing Bravo.